A little Catholic girl asked her classmate in third grade in a public school, she said, "Are you a Catholic?" And he answered, "No, we belong to another abomination." I'm going to share a story that comes from a guy named Paul Cuccino, I think his name is. He's a Jesuit. He's in the line of Anthony de Mello, who is a favorite of mine. He was a Jesuit, unfortunately died young, too young, in his 50s. He was from India, and he was a great writer and preacher and teacher. Paul is from India, too, and Jesuit, and a great writer as well. He tells a story, which I'll adapt for my own because that resonates with me. But he says, "One Sunday I was watching television, and I happened on a gospel channel, and I heard the preacher tell his listeners that he had a very important question to ask them. Now, I may not agree with all the television preachers and what they say, but if you've ever watched them, they're very animated. And I was curious to hear what the question was. The question was three words: are you ready?" It continued, "Are you ready when the Lord comes? Because when the Lord comes, he will not ask whether you were in church today or not, or what abomination you belong to. I mean, denomination you belong to. When the Lord comes, he will not ask whether you were a good Christian. He will not ask you about the great and admirable things that you did, like give to the annual Catholic appeal. When the Lord comes, he will ask you, did you know me?" So instead of changing the channel, I had to stop and reflect for a moment, because that's something I might have said or would like to have said. Are you ready? Did you know me? Do you know God? Do you see the face of the divine? These are scary questions, because for many of us, religion is going to church. And many of us will want to answer, "Well, yeah, I'm ready, because I attend church every Sunday. I keep the commandments," well, except a few. But that's not the question that the Lord will ask. He will ask, "Did you know me? Have you seen the face of God? Have you experienced the divine?" He will not ask you what religion you were. He's not going to ask you if you know how to recite the creed or answer the catechism questions or know any kind of theology. He's not going to ask those questions of you. My good friend Meister Eckhart, the great medieval mystic, he believed that everyone needs religion as a well to take them to the river of God's love and the divine life. And I think this is a wonderful analogy, because wells are fed by rivers of life-giving water. But how often the well and not the water it can provide becomes the goal of our life. Since we're seeking here at Corpus Christi the biggest God we can discover, let's ask ourselves, has the well become the goal of our lives? Because it often does. We fortify the well. We decorate it. We adorn it. We elaborate it with sometimes beautiful liturgies, with music, with art. And we say, "Look at our well. Look at what we've done and how wonderful it is. Ours is the best well. It's the one true well," just like that woman with Jacob's well. And we are never taking to the river. The purpose of the well is to take one to the river. And religion is to take us to the Spirit, to the river of God's life and love. That's what religion's supposed to do. So the river gives us freedom and salvation. Now, everyone needs religion. I believe that's true. Religion is a means to freedom, but it is not the end in and of itself. Religion helps us to find the river of life, the river of freedom. And it's in the river that we experience the love of God and the divine life. So a question we have to ask ourselves is once we find the river, once we experience divine love, do we still need the well? Once St. Paul found the river in his Damascus experience, did he still need the Mosaic law? Many of us settle for the comfort and security of the well without realizing that the river exists. Jesus was not about wells or where one worshiped God, as this story indicates today. His mission was to awaken people to the life-giving spirit within. God is not to be found in a book. God loves people, not religions. And although Jesus respected his own religion and he remained committed to reform it, he preached a God who welcomed all, and he went about destroying and crossing all the barriers and boundaries that were man-made, whether it was between male and female, because in his day, this story would have been scandalous to find a man and a woman at a well in the middle of the afternoon, or even a Jew and a Samaritan together, or any other social or religious barrier created by his society or religion. He destroyed every single one of those barriers and boundaries that were man-made. He taught that religion was not made to serve itself or build up the small egoic self. Rather, religion was supposed to help us to grow up, to move on, to expand our consciousness, to foster spiritual adulthood, and to help us to experience the divine. That's what religion was for. It wasn't for in and of itself. In all religions, the experience of God is the same, and it can unite us. However, we find that divisions and conflict between religions of the world, the great religions, happens on the level of interpretation of the experience. But the experience is the same. It's the same God. There's no different God. And it's the same God. But we interpret that God differently and understand that God differently in our interpretation. And then wars begin and conflicts begin. There's where division and separation happen in our world. And yet, all the higher religions, including Christianity, teach that the ground of everything is within us, and it is God. God in me, God in everyone, in everything. Not only that, but that this ground of all being that sustains all life is mercy. It is love. That's what the ground of being is love and mercy. Like the woman at the well, we have to ask that the mercy of God subsist in us. Because you see, once it is grounded in you, once it subsists in you, you will discover that everything that is outside of you is also grounded in that same mercy and love. And so once you achieve it, all opposition, conflict, separation between you and anyone or anything outside of you ceases. It must cease because it's all one. And so this, according to Jesus, is the will of Allah, his word that he used for God. Aramaic, for the one is Allah. This is the will of Allah, that we would discover his mercy in ourselves, and then we would discover it in everything else outside of us, and therefore end all conflict, and then there would be no separation. But sadly, many religious people, including us Catholics, are like the woman at the well. We get caught up in our religion, and we're all about dogmas, rituals, devotions, rules, regulations, orthodoxy, all this stuff, which in themselves is good, but they're not the end of what religion is supposed to be about. But they must lead us to the river. And unfortunately, many people, as I say, don't get to the river because they get hung up on what divides them, and they defend it, and they'll go to war for it and kill for it. It's the spirit that unites and overcomes the divisions and the conflicts. Thank God we have a new pope who seems to now want us to return as Catholics to the essentials of our religion, which is love of God and love of neighbor, and to care for the poor and the needy, and for justice and mercy in this world. He's constantly talking about that. Have you seen the face of the divine? Have you? I bet you everyone in this room has. I think you can all answer me, yes, you have. You have and you do. When you experience mercy and love and charity and justice in your life, you are experiencing the face of the divine in reality. And you can also reveal the face of the divine when you act mercifully and lovingly and justly towards others. Because God dwells in them as well. But it begins with discovering it and inviting it into oneself first. Once that is realized, then you begin to see it everywhere.